Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. We've all heard about President Obama's recent speech, in which he seemed to side with the Palestinians against Israel. I would like to read to you from an article by the Associated Press dated May 19, saying President Barack Obama is endorsing the Palestinians' demand for their future state to be based on the borders that existed before the 1967 Middle East War, in a move that will infuriate Israel. And in fact, it has. This article goes on to say, interestingly enough, until Thursday, that is when President Obama gave his speech, the U.S. position had been that the Palestinian goal of a state based on the 1967 borders with agreed land swaps should be reconciled with Israel's desire for a secure Jewish state through negotiations. Now, the interesting thing is that President Obama's position is now very close to what the Europeans have been advocating for quite a while. Here's an article by the EU Observer dated May 20 saying, U.S. President Barack Obama has said future Israeli-Palestinian borders should be based on lines established before the 1967 war, bringing U.S. policy closer in line with the EU position on the conflict. Later on in the article it says, the new U.S. position is in line with agreed EU policy, as formally stated by European foreign ministers in December. Quote, the EU will not recognize any changes to the pre-1967 borders, including with regard to Jerusalem, other than those agreed by the parties. This could include agreed territorial swaps, the EU aide said. Well, predictably, as the article points out, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, in a written reaction on Thursday, said the 1967 lines are both indefensible and would leave major Israeli population centers in Judea and Samaria beyond those lines. The defense of Israel requires an Israeli military presence along the Jordan River. So, of course, this was predictable, this was clear, but interestingly enough, the Europeans, especially Germany, congratulated President Obama for his speech, for his comments. Here's an article by The Local, dated May 20, saying, German Chancellor Angela Merkel welcomed on Friday a speech by U.S. President Barack Obama calling for an Israeli-Palestinian peace deal based on the 1967 borders, calling it very important. Now, at the same time, we find that Europe and Germany condemn Israel in other matters. Here's an article by the EU Observer, again dated May 17, saying, the EU has described as deplorable Israel's killing of 14 unarmed Palestinians at the weekend. Israeli soldiers killed 14 unarmed civilians and injured more than 100 when Palestinian protesters tried to cross fences on the Syria-Israel and Lebanon-Israel borders on Sunday. Now, Israel is saying, according to this article, that Lebanon and Syria broke the law in letting protesters through. It's very interesting that Europe issues and utters this condemnation, while at the same time it has been now reported that German soldiers have killed, apparently intentionally so, demonstrators in Afghanistan. Reuters reported on May 16 that more than 350 people were injured in a protest outside Israel's embassy in Cairo, Egypt, to mark the displacement of Palestinians at the 1948 creation of the Jewish state. Several hundred demonstrators gathered in front of the embassy late on Sunday on the anniversary of what many Arabs call the Nakba, or catastrophe. Egypt's interim military rulers have come under popular pressure to make a more pro-Palestinian stance. And of course, what this all means is that the entire world is turning against Israel, something which the Bible, my friends, has prophesied would happen in these end times. And here's a very interesting article which was published today by Haaretz. The headline is, Netanyahu's Israel is on course to become a pariah state. And then it says, Netanyahu heads for Washington as Israel to stop Israel's collision course with all our allies who are no longer prepared to listen to his arguments about the country's security. And then it goes on to say, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is going to Washington at what may be the last chance to turn the establishment of a Palestinian state from a global anti-Israeli campaign into a joint Israeli, American, and European project. Later on, this article says, the extent to which the Jewish right has lost its sway even in stronghold New York can be gathered from its failure to prevent American playwright Tony Kushner from getting an honorary doctorate from the City University of New York. It goes on to say, to this must be added the international pressure for an academic and economic boycott of Israel, which has been generated by the recognition that there is no other way to force Israel to end the occupation. Closer to home, Deutsche Bahn withdrew from the project to lay a railway line between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem that should have caused shock. Because of its blindness, Israel is gradually turning from a source of pride and an object of admiration into a nuisance, if not an object of outright hostility. And then the article concludes by saying, Israel is on a collision course with all our allies and supporters. And at the end of this road, it is liable to become a pariah state. Now, this is a newspaper which was published in Jerusalem, in Israel. At the same time, my friends, what we are seeing is that Europe, and particularly Germany, is becoming more involved militarily than ever before. And we would like to quote you from an article which was published again by The Local, dated May 19, saying this. German Defense Minister Thomas de Maizière Thursday said his country, Germany, should be prepared to pull its weight militarily abroad, taking part in international operations even when Berlin's interests are not directly at stake. Jürgen Trittin, a leader of the opposition Green Party, which once advocated German neutrality, said de Maizière was only saying openly what everyone knew. He goes on to say that a member of the NATO Western Alliance, Germany, long resisted foreign military involvement because of dark memories linked to World War II when German troops conquered much of Europe. But things have changed. And as the article goes on to say, over the past decade or so, however, Germany has increasingly sent troops abroad to act as peacekeepers, for example, in the former Yugoslavia. It has also taken part in UN-mandated operations such as in Lebanon, and in NATO military operations as in Afghanistan, where it provides the third largest foreign troop contingent. So we can expect Germany and Europe to become more and more involved militarily, and at the same time they become more and more prosperous. Now that shocked, that surprised some of the financial experts who have advocated that Europe is done, that the EU is done, that the euro is no longer a valid currency, that people will leave the euro and become again countries with their own national currencies, which I've said from the outset, that is an absolute nonsensical idea. Notice what this article says by the BBC on May 13. The economy of the 17 countries that use the euro grew by 0.8% in the first 3 months of 2011. Germany was largely responsible for the better-than-expected figure, reporting growth of 1.5% in the period. Later on in the article it says, the core countries like Germany are doing really well, and that is keeping the euro strong. Figures earlier in the week showed that German exports and imports had both risen to their highest monthly level since record began in 1950. Now, contrast this with what was just announced here in the United States. Now, you probably have heard it, but I'd like to refresh your recollection. This is an article from CNN, dated May 16. It is official. The U.S. government hit the debt ceiling on Monday, Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner told Congress. Geithner said he would have to suspend investments in federal retirement funds until August 2 in order to create room for the government to continue borrowing in the debt markets. He goes on to say that Congress, meanwhile, is not showing any signs of budging, because Geithner is saying Congress has to raise the debt ceiling again, but Congress doesn't want to do it necessarily. And so this article goes on to say that the first limit was set in 1917 and set at $11.5 billion. That's the amount the United States can borrow. That was then. Now, the ceiling is currently set at $14.295 $1 trillion. And that is not enough. That is not enough to borrow. We have to even borrow more than that. And Geithner is saying that if lawmakers don't get it together by August 2, the United States will no longer be able to pay its bills in full. What does that mean? Well, it means that Treasury would not have authority to borrow any more money. And that means that they will have only two choices. Both are awful, according to the CNN article. They could either cut spending or raise taxes by several hundred billion dollars just to get through September 30, which is the end of the fiscal year. Or they could acknowledge that the country would be unable to pay what it owes in full, and the United States could effectively default on some of its obligations. The first option would be impossible to execute without serious economic repercussions. And the second option could cripple the economy and send world markets into a tailspin. But not only that. Notice what Geithner said on May 18, according to an article by Newsmax. He threw a bomb at America's financial future last night, saying that he is certain. Notice this, certain. Totally regardless of what is happening regarding the debt ceiling, he is certain that another financial catastrophe is on the way and that there is no way of reaching agreement on the debt ceiling without increasing taxes on the wealthy. And you got to define wealthy. Now, the U.S. is not the only country which is in deep financial trouble. Great Britain, interestingly enough, is also one. This is an article by The Telegraph, a British paper dated May 14, saying, Brussels has slashed its forecasts for Britain's growth prospects. This means a weaker outlook for consumption than hoped, which will hit the economy's headline growth figures. Labour argued that the UK's zero growth over the 6 months from September to March meant that the UK was stuck in Europe's economic slow lane. Countries like France, Belgium, the Netherlands, and even Spain have overtaken us, while Germany is powering ahead, said Ed Balls, the shadow chancellor. Putting all this news together, a picture emerges. The picture is that the state of Israel will find itself in total isolation, that Europe will overpower the United States of America and Great Britain and will become the leading force, the leading power in the world. And as the Bible tells us, ultimately it will intervene in the Middle East militarily to bring about a quote-unquote peace, something which the United States has been unable to do. This is what the Bible tells us. And if you want to know more about it, I recommend that you read some of our booklets, which are posted online, and you also can receive hard copies. One is Europe in Prophecy. Another one talks about the mysteries of the book of Revelation. Another one talks about the Great Tribulation and the Day of the Lord. And then we have a booklet on the book of Zechariah. All these booklets go into the prophecies of the Bible as they relate to Europe, as they relate to the Middle East, particularly Israel, and as they relate to the United States of America and Great Britain. There's another book that we have, The Fall and Rise of Britain and America. All these booklets tell you from the Bible what is prophesied. And if you read today's headlines, if you listen to what we have just said on this program, and compare it with biblical prophecy, you know how close we are to those events as they are being described, which will culminate in the return of Jesus Christ. Now, things still have to happen. The concept that Christ will come this month, as some have postulated, is just absolute nonsense. Something will have to happen, but the Bible tells us what will happen and how long approximately it will take. So thanks very much for watching. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.